Thank you for joining us this morning for the Central Message, brought to you by Central Park Church of Christ in Tilton, where we are transformed by Christ to transform our world. If you would like to listen to this message again or previous messages, as well as the Central Minutes, you can listen to them on our website, www.centralparkchurchofchrist.org. And now, the Central Message.
When you drove into church today, you probably drove the same route to church, right? That you normally take. What was different today? White stuff all over the place, right? Did you notice all of the things that you normally notice? The broken down houses, some of the communities that may not look the same as what they did before. And usually after this, that snow on the ground, it transforms everything, right? And the way that you look at it is very different than the way you would normally look at the neighborhoods and the communities in which you live. It's amazing to me how one simple thing can transform how you view your world. Snow was the perfect example of that. Today we're going to be talking about transformational worship and the way that one simple thing transforms the way that we worship. Now, I have to be honest, parts of this message this morning are from notes that I created and started all the way back in 2006. Anybody remember 2006? Okay, that's a ways ago. I don't know who helped me compile these notes or how I got all of these notes. It may have been a student. It may have been someone online. I don't know. I'd be happy to give credit where credit is due, but I don't know where it came from. So if you recognize these, give them credit for me, okay? For some of it. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 is our primary text this morning. And we're going to be talking about transformational worship. Now, last week, just going to leave that up. Last week, we spoke about our mission and our vision statements. And the way that we are transformed by Christ to transform the world. Not only that, but we talked about how our mission statement, our vision statement is that we are a body of believers in Jesus Christ who diligently desire to be transformed into mature disciples who are grounded in the Bible and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Two, number one, worship God. Number two, advance Christ's mission. Number three, reflect His character. And number four, to offer hope and help to our community and our world. That's our mission and vision statements. So today, we're going to focus in on that very first action statement in our vision statement, and it is worship God. Now, Romans 12, he begins here very simply. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices that are holy and acceptable to God, which this is your spiritual worship. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but here's the key, be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. That's powerful. You see, today we're going to focus in on that, but for most of us here, worshiping God means many different things. It can be something very different. Some consider worship to be a lifestyle, a way that you live your life in worship of God. While others consider worship to be an act carried out on a Sunday morning. But here's the unique piece to that puzzle. Both are correct. But here's the key. One without the other tends to leave you shallow and wanting something different. Without those elements, worship falls short, I believe, of what the Bible declares worship to be in our lives. Consider a man named Pete for just a moment. Pete is married with two children. He's an interesting guy. Pete is a church member at a well-known Christian church. But Pete, for some reason, didn't like how everyone at his well-known church dressed up. They wore suit and tie. So Pete picked up his family and moved to a Grace Church. Now, Pete liked Grace Church because he had because the church there had this awesome music service. So they got them all excited in it. It was a great opportunity. So they stayed at Grace. Or at, Grace Church. Soon after that, Pete and his family left Grace for Hope Church. Because Hope Church had this great Sunday school program, and it was an in-depth Bible study, and that's what they really needed. Shortly after that, Pete then decides to move his family to Foundation Church because of their great youth programming. You see what I'm getting at here? Instead of staying and building something, Pete had this roving idea that kept him always looking for the next, the best, and the greatest thing in church. Let me ask you a question. Why do you suppose that there are close to 100 million church members in America, yet they are not making more of a moral and spiritual impact? Why is it that today there are literally thousands of churches with empty pews and chairs? Why is it that the average Sunday school in America has less than 66 in attendance, and that the average worship service has 84. If Christians really truly believe in a real heaven and a real hell, how can we be silent, absent, and lost? Why is it that only 50% of the number on any church membership roll can be expected to attend church? Romans 12, 1 and 2, very simply. If you go to church and you sing all of the songs, you listen to the sermon, and that is all that you do, I'm not so sure that is the worship that that text is describing. All of those elements of worship, all of those things are great elements to the worship, but they are not worship in and of themselves. So this means that you can do all of those things and yet have failed to truly worship God. We Christians often mistake the means of worship. You know, the type of songs, the sermon, the type of church, the type of youth ministries for worship itself. You've heard it. I can't worship with that kind of music. You've heard it. I can't worship unless we use the organ. I can't worship unless it's a cappella. I can't worship with that tune. See, when we worship, we need to fully surrender to God. Because only when we surrender ourselves do we finally worship God. Worship is what we bring to our service. Worship is communion with God. Worship, transformational worship, is experiencing God in everything. Transformational worship is celebrating God in all circumstances. That's the reality. That's what worship does. It brings us into that moment where we can truly worship God. Not just on Sunday morning, but Monday through Saturday as well. Psalm 95, verses 1 through 6 is a powerful text. It speaks volumes of letting us sing and shout, make a joyful noise, because that's all I got. I can't sing worth anything. Thank goodness all he says is a joyful noise, right? It's the power of transformational worship. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Verse 3. For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, the heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. You notice he doesn't say anything about snow. Verse 6, he says, oh, come, let us worship, let us bow down, let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. That's powerful in that text. You see, here's the key to that text. It does not say, on Sunday, let's sing to the Lord. We become like what we worship, don't we? We become like what we worship. If we worship possessions, we become this materialistic person. If we worship money, we become a greedy person. If we worship sex, we become a lustful person. If we worship power, we become a corrupt person. But when you worship Jesus, you become a Christ-like person. And worship is not just something that we do on Sunday morning. It is truly a lifestyle event. Transformational worship is powerful. Worship is beyond our location. Think of Paul and Silas in the Bible. Worship is beyond circumstances. Look at Job and all of the calamity that happened to his life and all of the problems. And yet Job was so thankful for everything that had happened in his life. Every event, he praised God for what was going on. Habakkuk, living by faith, worship is beyond our comfort zones. Look at Paul. He's not in the riches of luxury. He's in the dungeons of a prison. And yet he's still worshiping. Worship is acceptable to God only when the best is given. Look at Cain and Abel. But yet experiencing God results in this transformational worship. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. But their minds were hardened in verse 14. For to this day, when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted. You remember we talked about this last week? Because only through Christ it is taken away. Only through Christ that veil is taken away. Only through Christ that veil is taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, that veil is removed. That's powerful. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, unveiled heart, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the very Spirit. Imagine, if you will, a transformational worship that sets you free. See, the best times for worship are some in the middle of some of the most difficult crises and disappointments and struggles of your life. Here you are amidst the crisis of a new covenant in 2 Corinthians. The church in Corinth learned something about the impact that worship and holy living can have on their hearts. And the only way to remove that sin, that guilt, that shame, that veil from your heart is to accept Jesus Christ. And that's what he's telling them. What is the point of your greatest weakness? You ever wonder that? Do we call them weaknesses anymore? Or do we just call them limitations? If we will come to God in the midst of his holiness, God will lift that veil from your heart and you will experience freedom like you have never experienced freedom before. Transformational worship only happens when the veil of your heart is lifted and that power of the Holy Spirit changes your heart. Anyone know what the unemployment numbers are today? What's acceptable anymore in unemployment? Huh? 12%. Below 12, right? Used to be when the workforce in America got upset when it was around 5%. Now 12 is acceptable. How high are we going to go with it? Just think, if it reached 20% or higher, what would that look like? Terrible. How would that transform our world? How would that transform what we're able to do in life and ministry and family? Yeah, what would we do? The workforce in the church has reached 95% unemployment. You have certain people that do certain things, and everyone else just kind of sits and goes along with it. Why? Is that truly being transformed? Are you allowing the life of Jesus Christ and the power of His grace to transform you and give you a gift that isn't to be used in service to God? What are we doing today? You see, that transformation only happens when the veil of your heart is lifted and the power of the Holy Spirit changes you. Have you truly been transformed today? Now, I'm not questioning whether you've been saved by the very grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. I'm not questioning that. What I'm questioning is that transformational act of worship. How does it affect you Monday through Saturday? What do you do with what we do here? And how does this impact you for the rest of the week? What do we do with this? Do we just choose to go about our own way Monday through Saturday and then we come back to Sunday and start the process all over again? Or do we actually attempt to make changes in our life that tells us that veil that we have placed over our heart, that thing that is there that's keeping us from letting go and allowing God to move us by the power of the Holy Spirit is holding us back. And until we give that veil, that problem in our hearts to Jesus Christ, nothing in your life is going to change. Maybe you're here today and you've struggled with that veil. Maybe you're here today and you've allowed yourself to darken the corners of your heart and you've given the majority of your life to Christ. Maybe you've accepted the things that you need to give to Christ, but there's that one little thing that's holding you back. And you're allowing that to keep you from the Holy Spirit and the power that is yours as a child of God. Maybe you're in those moments where you're still wrestling with what your greatest weakness is. What is your greatest weakness? See, if you're like me, your greatest weakness is the power to never forget. Because along with that comes the power to never forgive. And if you can't forgive and you can't forget and you can't move on from the problems that you've been facing in your life, you're going to hold that veil over that part of your life that Christ is asking so desperately to take control of. Do you truly want freedom? Then it's transformational worship. Worship that changes you. Worship that affects you in your life. Like I said, some of the greatest moments of worship have been through deep crisis and problems in my own personal life. When you hit that pain and you hit that road and going through all of these things again, over and over and over again in your mind, and you can't lay it down, you can't let it go, the only place you can give it to is Jesus Christ. Because He and He alone can take it from you. So what transforms you today? What changes you? What allows you to walk into a church and recognize the body of believers who are Jesus Christ followers and allow your life to be changed. What is that one thing? You know what it is? Let me tell you. The thing that allows you to change your life when you walk through those doors is someone else in the room. Because you respect them enough, they've talked to you enough, they've been most likely where you are or where you have been, and your partners in this journey of faith. You know, Dustin and I have some great conversations, and God love him, he's maturing, so thank goodness. So, you know, but we're getting there. I love my time and conversations with Dustin because, it, you know what the sad part is? We think alike. That's scary to me, isn't it? We think alike. And he'll say something like, man, I was just thinking that. You know, we have all kinds of things planned. But here's the point. Dustin and I diligently desire to see this church transformed, not by its spiritual or by its numerical growth, not by just opening the doors and letting people come in and see who we are, but by transforming it first and foremost spiritually and allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us as a church to change and transform a world. So we want to serve our communities. We want to reach out to them, but we want to do it not through our own might and our own strength, but by the very power of the Holy Spirit. If we are truly following our mission and vision statement, then you must ask yourself this question. Have I been transformed by Christ? And am I willing, if I have been transformed by Christ, am I doing my part in transforming the world for Christ? That's what we're asking us of us to do. If we truly are that body of believers who believe that Jesus Christ died for us on the cross, that Jesus took and bore the sin and shame and the burdens of a world upon his shoulders. If we truly believe that, then we are moving towards mature disciples grounded in the Bible. If we are not grounded in the Bible, then there's no way for us to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. How do you think the Spirit's going to talk to you, my friends? He's going to gather those words from the very pages of that love story that we call the Bible. And he's going to challenge you to do those four things. To worship him. To allow worship to transform your life. To advance Christ's mission of seeking and saving that which was lost. To live a life of character. No matter what has happened to you in the past. No matter the struggles. No matter the gossip. No matter the rumors. No matter the failings. All of that stuff. For you to rise above all of that mess that is called life. And so easily burdens you, entangles you, and ensnares you, and entraps you on this level to raise you up out of that muck and the mire and the mud of life and move you into his character that does offer hope and help for our community and our world. See, that's what we seek to do. To be transformed by Christ and take that message of hope and love and transform the world. That's what we want. That's what Christ is calling us to do. So what does worship mean to you? And are you allowing worship to transform your life more than just Sunday at 45 minutes to an hour's worth? Where do you stand with Jesus Christ today? Has he transformed your life? And has he moved you forward for the days to come? Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your love and the way that you have transformed us. and the way that you continue to transform us each and every day for this journey that we face called life. Father God, today we accept that grace, that mercy that was so freely given by your Son, Jesus. Today, Father, we reach up to you. That as Jesus was on the cross, we truly were on his mind. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of not allowing ourselves to forgive and to move beyond the pain and the struggles of this world. Father, today transform us. But do something else too, Father. Grow us spiritually. Help us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of who you are and how you love us. And by your Holy Spirit, may we move forward and carry on this mission of transforming the world with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. If you have a prayer request or a praise or something going on in your life, we welcome you to come up this morning and we'll pray with you. Whatever that need is, we welcome the opportunity to spend time with you. We welcome the opportunity to just sit and pray. We welcome the opportunity to, maybe you're here for the opportunity to give your life to Christ for the first time. Maybe you're here and still have questions. We love the opportunity just to talk with you and share in these moments of how Christ is continually transforming your life.